of Genesis for us. Lord willing, we'll journey into Genesis 18 next week. But in Genesis chapter 17, our text will be verse 23 through 27. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the self same day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. We talked about the sensitive nature of this particular chapter in the book of Genesis, because here God institutes circumcision, calls Abraham to circumcise himself, his sons, and all the males of his house as a sign of the covenant. We talked about how it is a sensitive subject to discuss, especially in mixed company, but it's not sensitive at all if we'll see who we really need to see in this chapter. We need to see God. We need to see God saying to Abraham, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Walk before me. Obey me. This is my covenant with you, and this is what I want you to do, and I expect you to do as a sign of this covenant. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Abraham is 99 years old, and God has brought him to the place where he really sees him as God. He's always had faith in this journey and always has believed God, but he's been growing and he's been developing, and he is becoming more and more appreciative of who God is and this God that he has this relationship with. And as he comes to this place where he fully or better appreciates God and who God is, who El Shaddai is, God says, I'm changing your name. Your name is no longer Abram. Your name is Abraham. And God forever changed his name. I believe because this passage signifies a change, a difference in Abram's life that will follow him all the days of his life. He calls Abraham to circumcision as a sign, an exterior sign to the whole world that would set him, his people, his descendants, ultimately the Jewish people, apart from all the world. And God says, as far as your wife Sarai goes, I'm changing her name. Her name will be Sarah from this point on. And I think Sarah has been doing some developing and some growing herself in understanding. And God includes her in this covenant promise. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, and kings of people shall come of her. So God reveals himself to Abraham and to Sarah, changes their names, gives them this institution of circumcision as a sign that they might never forget who he is and who he has who they have a relationship with. It's a reminder to always remind them of God and who He is and who they have this covenant with. And it was a sign that separated them and set them apart from all the world, that they might be known as the people of God. And in these verses that we just read, verse 23 through 27, you have the carrying out of that which God has decreed. You have Abraham circumcising himself, circumcising his son Ishmael, circumcising all the men of his house, all those that were under him and were a part of his household. You have Abraham at 99 years of age carrying out this act upon himself, Ishmael, and all of those males of his household. You have Abraham being obedient to the Lord. He fully grasped that God is God. God is Jehovah. God is El Shaddai, the Almighty One, the Sovereign One. He fully appreciates and understands better than ever before who God is. Who God is. It's a simple passage of Scripture. But as we look at these five verses or so, let us just draw out some things we see about Abraham once he gets a better vision of God, once he's brought to where he fully understands God. This afternoon we're going to be in Psalms 145. And a man that I was reading made this comment about Psalm 145. It's a psalm of David, believed to be the last of the psalms of David, called a psalm of praise, last of the psalms that have that alphabetical order to them. And this man made this statement, as David praises God in that psalms, he said it's not so much that David liked to praise God, but it's that he saw God as worthy of praise. David, I'm sure, loved to praise God. I'm not saying otherwise. But that's not why he praised God. That's not why we find Psalms 145 in Scripture. Yeah, David probably loved to praise God, but he praised God because he saw God for who He was. He saw God as so worthy, so deserving of praise. So that drove David to praise Him. And I think the same is true of Abraham. He sees God better than he's ever seen God before. And that drives him to circumcise himself, circumcise Ishmael, to circumcise all of his household. And we're told in verse 23 and verse 26 that he circumcised all of these males that self same day. Verse 22, God left off talking with him, and God went up. God left Abraham, and that self same day, Abraham circumcises all of those males in his household. That tells us he did this immediately. Why did he do it in such a rush? Why did he not take his time? Why did he not delay? Why did he carry out the instructions of the Lord immediately? because he had seen the Lord. He had seen him as the Almighty God. He had seen him to be the covenant-keeping God. He had seen the holy, righteous, perfect God that God was. And as soon as he leaves this appearance that he has with Abraham in the 17th chapter, as soon as God leaves, Abraham went to work. See, the Bible tells us Abraham believed God. That's faith. Abraham believed God, and his faith was counted to him for righteousness. The Bible tells us, I think it's James, the book of James, about the works of Abraham, the things that Abraham did. And it tells us he was justified by works. Justified by works. And yet here in Genesis, we see he was justified by faith. Romans and other places, we find out that Abraham was justified by faith. By his faith, the faith that God had given him, he was justified. But in this immediate carrying out, this immediate obedience to El Shaddai, this immediate obedience to Almighty God shows us that though he was justified by faith, he believed God, he was also justified by works, proven to be a child of God by his works. He was justified by his works. His immediate obedience, his immediate carrying out shows us what faith is all about. Faith could be said to be instant obedience. When we really have faith and we really see God for who God is, we don't hem and haw around. We don't delay and put it off or procrastinate and wait till tomorrow. When we see God for who God is and we have faith in God and we believe God, we see him as Almighty God, as El Shaddai, and we obey him immediately. Don't talk about your faith. Don't talk about how you believe in God. Don't talk about how you perceive God if your life is nothing but a great big delay. Only talk about God, your understanding of God, your belief in God. Only talk about your faith when it is evidenced by your immediate and my immediate obedience to him. If we're spending our life waiting to get around to it, we have no faith to brag in. We have no faith to talk about. Abraham immediately went to carrying out the instructions of God. Jesus said in John 14, I believe it's verse 15, simple little verse, if you love me, if you love me. Anybody here claim to love Jesus? Anybody here claim that Jesus loves them? Well, what did Jesus say there in John 14? If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. Keep, obey, do what I've told you to do. Keep my commandments. Don't wait to get around to it. Do it. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off till tomorrow or next year or one of these days. But Abraham circumcised himself and Ishmael and all the males in his house that self same day. When we really see God for who he is, the great God that he is, and we really have faith from God, we will obey immediately. People like to talk about loving God and loving Jesus, But their life is a testimony of just waiting around to get around to it. That gives no testimony concerning your love for God or your appreciating who God is at all. But when you obey Him, and it is with an immediate obedience. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. I don't care how you want to look at it. I don't care what you want to explain away by the average lifespan of a man in those days. Being circumcised when you're 99 years of age had to be difficult. It had to be a hardship. It had to be difficult to carry out. And that only teaches us that Abraham believed God and God entrusted him with this instruction. And Abraham, no matter how difficult, he obeyed. See, God doesn't say it's going to be easy. He doesn't ever tell us it's going to be simple. He never promises us a rose-covered pathway. Sometimes obeying God is hard. Sometimes obeying God calls for great sacrifice. Sometimes obeying God is difficult. Sometimes it can be painful. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about much suffering, tells us about much difficulty, tells us about much pain. It tells us about tortures and imprisonments and wanderings. All to those who believe God. There was a lot of heartache, a lot of hardship represented there in Hebrews 11. As we've just concluded our look in Hebrews 11 on the broadcast. But they all believed God, trusted God, endured. God got them through it all. God got them through it all. 99 years of age, I'm sure it was quite challenging. Difficult, to say the least. But verse number 24 tells us, and Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. The chapter opens up. He's 99 years of age. This is a critical point. This time next year, Sarah's going to bring forth Isaac, to whom I will extend this covenant relationship, the most critical time indeed. And as he's given this instructions about being circumcised and obeying God in that act, while he's still 99 years of age, he does it, and he does it immediately, no matter how difficult. What difficulty in your life? What hardship, what maybe suffering, what painful thing are you using as an excuse not to do everything God has called you to do? Well, if I do that, it might cost me this. If I do that, it might cost me here. If I do that, it might cost me friends. If I do that, it might cause me to have to suffer a little bit. If I do that, I might be laughed at. If I do that, I might be mocked. If I do that, etc. What excuses are you putting forth for not simply obeying God? Abraham wasn't going to put any difficulties before his obedience to God. Abraham takes his whole family into submission to God. In verse number 26 and 27, in the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, Ishmael his son, and all, A-double-L, all the men of his house, born in his house and bought with money of the stranger, they were all circumcised with him, with Abraham. He takes his whole house, his whole household, into submission with and before God. We touched on this a little bit last week, and we've touched on it a little bit before, how that the men of God are called to take their whole households and bring their whole households into submission before God. And Abraham takes his whole family into submission. He does what Joshua declared he was going to do. I think it's Joshua chapter 24. Isn't that where Joshua called the people, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve"? Joshua called Israel to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And what did Joshua say then? What he said then was, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's quite the declaration. Do what you want as far as my house is concerned. We are going to serve the Lord. As far as our house is concerned, God is God. And we're going to see God as God. And we're going to obey God. And that's the way it's going to be in my house. That's the man's directive. Abraham took his whole family and brought them into submission and obedience to God, as Joshua declared. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That doesn't always come easy. That sometimes brings about the difficulties that I've been talking about this morning. But that's what God would have men to do. That's what God wanted Abraham to do. And the pattern that God lays forth before us in all of Scripture. So Abraham took Ishmael and all that were in his house that same day, and he immediately circumcised all of them. All of them. What a task it had to have been. But he demonstrated his faith by his immediate obedience. And we demonstrate our faith by our obedience. Not our eventual obedience, but we demonstrate our faith by our immediate obedience, our immediately doing what God would have us to do. Abraham didn't concern himself with how difficult the task, he just did it. And none of us should consider how difficult the task that God asks of us. We should just do it. Just do it. And it's not a problem when you really see God as God. When you really see Him as El Shaddai, Almighty God. Our homes need to be places of total submission and obedience to God. And us men need to insist that that's the kind of homes that we oversee and we're the head of. And we see in this passage of Scripture, and I'll close with this thought, Ishmael was circumcised. Ishmael represents to us a non-believer. He wasn't the promised seed. He wasn't the promised son. God said, "I'm making this covenant with you. I will make it through Sarah to your seed, not Ishmael, but Isaac." Ishmael had no part of this faith that Abraham and Isaac would have a part with and a part in. He represents to us at best an unbeliever, a non-believer. And what that points out to us is that circumcision was given as an ordinance between God and Abraham and all of his descendants as a sign, as a token of the covenant. But that circumcision never had anything to do with their salvation. That circumcision didn't have anything to do with something that they did in order to be pleasing and acceptable to God. Salvation was of God, from God, by God, through God, and God alone. So though he was circumcised because that's what God ordered him to do, that circumcision didn't do him any good. Ishmael, that is. And I said all that to say this. Being baptized doesn't do you any good regarding your salvation. Become a church member, if you can become a church member somewhere. Becoming a church member has nothing to do in saving your soul. You take the Ten Commandments, convince yourself you're keeping them all perfectly. You're not. You can't. Never will happen. But you convince yourself, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. Well, here, guess what? The news is you can't keep them to the saving of your soul. Circumcision, church membership, baptism, the Lord's Supper, any of the Ten Commandments, none of these things will avail to the saving of a soul. In order to be saved, you must see yourself as a sinner. You must repent and confess of your sins before God and ask God to have mercy upon your soul. And he has to give you faith to believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for you in order to be saved. Abraham was saved. He was justified by faith. And God counted it to him for righteousness' sake. And we're all saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you want to be saved? Do you need to be saved? Are you holding to something in hopes that it'll save you? It won't. If God will show you you're a sinner and you need of a Savior, and God will show you that there's nothing you can do about that, then God will also give you the faith to believe. And you'll be able to cry out, I believe Jesus died for me, was buried, and rose again for me. And you'll be saved forever. By grace, through faith. And that's your greatest need if you're here today and you're lost. All right, let's have a verse, a song to close.